Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. A forensic engineer took the stand in Alex Murdaugh's trial Tuesday and testified about the bullet trajectories he examined in the family murders investigation. Mike's son claims that the trajectories he plotted appear to show the shooter who killed Paul and Maggie was about 1 foot shorter than the disgraced lawyer. Sutton said that he concluded Alex Murdaugh did not fire the shots based on height projections. Here's that testimony from today.
What, if anything, did we hear from the state's experts about the relative position of Maggie and whoever shot her?
The only thing that I heard was is that maybe two of the shots were done at less than 3 feet because of the stippling to the skin.
And what about the relative position of the shooter and her prior to that?
Nothing specific or definitive. Okay.
So, let's see the next one. What is that?
This is a shooter, because this shot's going down. This shooter is shooting from the shoulder, which can be done with this shot. And if you're shooting from the shoulder, you got to be further back. So that's just to illustrate. That's the range of possibility, you know, from the shoulder, from the hip, or
down low, those two we just saw. Is that also consistent with where the shell casings are?
It is. That could be consistent too.
Okay. Next slide, please. Both shots. Go ahead. So what does this depict?
So this is the shooter making both shots. And you'll see, there's a couple different angles I could show you, but they're really close. And they're in the right location relative to the empty shell casings. Okay. So what that says, I'm not saying it's exactly there because there's some variables to it, but I find it interesting that the two shot trajectories cross at a point where both shots can be made and they're at the right location relative to those empty shell casings. So in my opinion, when these two shots were made, at least these two shots, that the shooter was standing right in that area.
Okay, next. And what does this depict?
This is the same thing I just described, except a little bit different angle. So there you may have a shooter taking two steps forward, depending on which one was fired first,
right,
or two steps backwards. But, you know, within a generally small area, those were those shots were fired from.
Okay, next. Is that the same?
That is the same thing. That is, you know, the shooter's from the hip. If you have the shooter shooting from the hip, it makes a lot of sense that with a little bit of movement, the shooter can produce both of those shots and have it agree with the evidence that Special Agent Worley collected.
Okay, next. Okay, now we're going to don't go to let's get to that in just a minute. Based on your analysis of, and tell us how you came to conclude the range of heights for the person shooting from those distances. Tell us how that works.
Okay, so we're able to locate the weapon, where the weapon was, and that's...
When you say locate the weapon, what do you mean by that?
Locate the weapon on the green line. Okay,
so... When you say locate the weapon, is it the muzzle, is it the... The whole barrel.
Right, okay. Because the bullet starts its path inside the barrel, and when it leaves the barrel, it finds the target.
Okay, so you can slide that barrel up and down the green line?
Correct.
Okay, tell us how you get to a height for the shooter.
So for the purposes of what I've been showing you is that I started putting different height people in the trajectory analysis. And so what I've been showing you is a person that's 5 foot two.
Versus how tall? The shooter's how tall?
5 foot two.
Could be someone a little taller crouching down a little bit?
Could be.
5'3", 5'4"?
Yes.
So between 5'2 and 5'4"?
Yes.
The shooter.
Because what happens if, let's say, if you put a 5'4 person even, or 5'5", 5'6", in kind of that shooting position from the hip, you've got to move them all the way up to the quail pen. And it doesn't make any sense there because there's no shell casings. And it starts to not make any sense. Why would a person stand right in front of the quail pen a few feet away and shoot into it?
And as you slide it back, what happens in terms of the, and this is all trigonometry? These are angles?
It's just trigonometry. Okay. So, again, you have 5'2 people. What happens is if I move those people back...
Well, just take the quail pen to begin with.
Yeah, with the quail pen, if you start to move the shooter, the quail pen back, then you're down to, you start getting to, you know, less than 5 foot two very quickly because that shot is going up. And what you have here is that, you know, this is as far back as basically I could justify putting a 5'2 shooter here.
And how'd you come to 5'2"? I mean, what... Did you look at any data?
Well, again, these are actual people that were scanned in. Okay. And so these are 5'2". What happens is, for instance, if you, you know, I tried it with a 5'4", I tried it with a 5'9".
Why didn't that work?
Because it puts the person under the shed close to the quail pen. Doesn't make much sense being under there. There are no shell casings there. So in order to get the shooter at the cross of the two shot trajectories near the empty casings, then you've got to lower that shot.
Okay, next slide, please. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, some measurements. We don't need to look at each one of these, but go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, let's hold on for 1 second before we go to that. So in terms of Alec Murdaugh, who is, how tall is he?
6'3", 6'4".
Okay. And you took a measurement of him this morning, correct?
Yes.
And what did you measure?
I measured to his kneecap.
To his kneecap.
Yes.
And how much, what was the distance between the bottom of his foot and his kneecap?
25 inches.
Okay, now explain why that's relevant to what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, the obvious question is well... What if you were 6'4 and not 5'2"? What does that mean? So what that means is that the shooting hand, the bottom of the shooting hand, for somebody the height of Alex Murdaugh would be right at and below his kneecap.
So his shooting hand would be below his kneecap?
Yes.
What does that tell you?
Well... It puts the shooter or whoever fired the weapon, if they were that tall, it puts them in an unrealistic shooting position. It's not an aiming position. It's not a shooting position. It would be something other than a shooting position where you were on your feet. So it would be, it would be very difficult. You would have to be bending over and have your shooting hand down at or below your kneecap. And what's important about that to me is that it just makes it very unlikely that a tall person made that shot.
Okay. More likely that a person between 5'2 and 5'4 fired those shots, correct?
Yes.
Can I have, maybe. Can I have a red or black pen or something?
Oh, I think I'll take the red one. Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's great. Right. Thanks.
So, I had one of these, the shots you had with the shooters and their alignment blown up.
Can you step down here, please?
And bring the point. And
let's see how we're going to do this.
You stand over here. And so, explain to the jury why they've got to be 5'2". This is blown up. Why would it be 5'2"? I mean, how, if this guy moves forward this way, or either one of them moves forward, what happens to the barrel of the gun?
Yeah, so what happens is that if you move them forward, they can be taller, up until a point where we talked about before. At some point in time, even shooting from the hip, you still have to be very close to the quail pin. If I move them back, either two things have to happen is they have to be even shorter than 5'2", or they have to be in some unnatural or kind of like an unreasonable shooting position. I mean, obviously you could have somebody laying on the ground taking a shot. They could be really low of any height, right? So, but what I'm doing here is that as you move these people back, the gun has to be lower and lower and lower to the ground. When you move it forward, the gun has to be higher. So then you start looking at, well, where are the shell casings? The shell casings are here. So if you move a person back, let's say where they're laying on the ground, right, and they're shooting like in a sniper position, like on their elbows and laying down flat, there's no shell casings back there because the shell casings are being ejected to the right, maybe to the back, we don't really know. But at least it's going to be back here. This area where Maggie's body was found, where the collection of empty shell casings are found, because some of these were close range, but some of them are spread over here, is going to put the shooter here. Well, it certainly puts the weapon there. And then then what you have to do is go through the thought process of how can somebody hold the weapon that height off the ground?
Now, if you've got a tall person and they're coming this way towards the quail pen, let's say a 6'3", 6'4" person, how close would they have to be to the quail pen to shoot the bullet at that angle into the quail pen?
Well, it would be difficult. It wouldn't be either a hip shot or a shoulder shot. You would have to, for somebody who's tall, because again, I don't have a tape measure, but the hole in the quail pen is at 4'2". Okay. So
we got one right there.
So let's just say,
I see a sticker or something.
You need what? A sticker.
So quail pen shot is right here.
Yeah, how about you put a sticker right there? Okay, so that's the height it went into the quail pen.
Right. 5'10".
Right.
Right. Shoes all maybe 5'11". Right. So it's going 3 degrees up. So there's, I'm saying that's about flat. Let's just say that's 3 degrees. Now I'm standing at the quail pen. I would have to do like that. Or I could do this. Right. Not from the hip. I'd have to come in here like this, which of course is possible. Right. Just like that.
What about 6'4"?
And if you're 6'4", it would be, a lot taller than I am. And so you would have to go through that thought process of how the shooter could
and position. And of course, as you come back off the quail pen, the only place you see shell casings are back here.
Yes, the empty shell casings, there's some right by the body, there's one underneath the body, and then I believe it's 2, 3, and 4 are here. 5, 6, and 7 are here, but 2, 3, and 4 are here. Like the shells are being ejected to the right and maybe slightly backwards.
And so, can you say to a degree of engineering certainty, more probably than not, that whoever shot this shot or these shots, well, first of all, the quail pen shot was 5'2" to 5'4"?
That is the most likely explanation, yes.
Okay. And we know that Alec is 6'4".
Yes.
So could you say to a degree of engineering certainty, more probably than not, that Alec Murdaugh on the night of June 7th did not fire that shot into the quail pen?
In my opinion, it's very unlikely that he fired that shot.
Okay, now, in reviewing the SWED file, did you see whether or not they did any analysis like this? Have you seen any charts, any pharaohs, anything indicating that SWED ever looked at these shot angles before?
No.
Okay, go ahead and take the
That's testimony from earlier today. If you're wondering what the difference is between a forensic engineer and a forensic analyst, we hear typically much more from forensic analysts. Let's talk about that. A forensic engineer is a professional who specializes in the application of engineering principles and techniques to legal investigations. They're often involved in investigations related to product failures, construction accidents, and other incidents where a technical understanding of the underlying cause is needed. On the other hand, a forensic analyst, professional who specializes in collection, preservation, and analysis of evidence in support of legal investigations. They use various methods such as DNA analysis, fingerprint analysis, and other forms of scientific analysis to identify and analyze evidence that can be used in court. Basically, a forensic engineer focuses on the technical aspects of a case. A forensic analyst focuses on the analysis of evidence. That's the latest that we have for you right now. Keep it here for more as it develops as we follow the trial of Alec Murdaugh. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.